In the book of Daniel, in the 16th, we'll start with 15. Now if it be ready that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this manner. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Amen. As we go back, we know that the king was going to throw them into they got tossed into the fiery furnace. We understand that. And it was more than just fire. It was burning, meaning that it was made hotter than it would have been made for some normal folks that they wanted to just char up, or they wanted to burn up. So the fire was even more intensified. A lot of times that's like the things we go through in our life. They intensify. Things that used to bother us years ago that we just kind of just brushed off and kept going, now when the same problem arises, it affects us in a different manner. Because when you start receiving the knowledge of God and you start getting greater understanding, you realize that to whom much is given, much is required, the battle becomes even that much more fierce. Because I found out, as you listen to what they say here, it says, and they shall deliver you out of my hands, that your God, he's saying, is it possible that your God is able to deliver you? Is it possible? Well, you know, we have people all around us wondering, can your God do it? Can he deliver you? Well, we've come into an age where people no longer believe in miracles. Well, we have to believe in miracles. We have to keep our confidence in miracles. And the greatest example of a miracle is when Pastor Hart said, a miracle is the divine intervention of God into the affairs of mankind. Well, I don't know about you, but I need a whole lot of intervention. I need God to intervene into some stuff into my life so that I can do the things that God has called me to do. But nevertheless, we're going to do it anyway. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this manner. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able. You notice that? That word hit me this morning. I never paid attention to the word able. I just kind of blew through it. But it says, my God is able. Yeah. Well, if you look up the word able, you find out that what he's saying is, I'm assuming that my God can do it. I know what he's done for us in the past, but he's never had to deliver us out of this circumstance. But I'm assuming that he's able. But after you assume, you have to make up in your mind, according to the word of God, that he can. How many hear me? There are situations that you're going through in your life today where you said, well, I've never been this place before. Or I've never had to deal with this circumstance before. Or I haven't had to put up with this group of people before. God's never had to deliver me from this type of sickness. Or God's never had to deliver me from this type of disease. God's never had to deliver me from this type of pain. But I know that he's able. How many hear me? I know that he is able. I know that he's able to heal cancer. I haven't been in that situation, some would say, but I know he's able. I know that he's able to resurrect my finances, even though I haven't been in that situation where I need him to do it. I know he's able. I know that he's able to deliver my loved ones because I know he's able. But then you have to make up in your mind, according to the word that's in you, that even though I know that he's able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, He will. I know he will. I know he's able, but I have to allow my faith to come to an understanding that he will do it. What will he do? He'll do whatever I need him to do. He's able as long as I allow him to be able, but he'll do it when I provoke him to do it. Well, that's the way you provoke God to do what you want him to do. How do you do it? Through your praise and through your worship, through your edifying of him. Why? Because the Bible says God loves to inhabit praise. He likes to inhabit praise. So if he likes to inhabit praise, why don't we give it to him? Why don't we give him something that he likes to be around? Instead of complaining or murmuring or bellyaching about what we're going through, we ought to just offer up some praise unto the Lord. We might as well be honest about it. Well, Lord, you know what? I don't like this pain that's in my hip, but I'm going to give you the praise anyway, because not only do I know that you're able, I know that you will. Lord, my finances are really bad, but I know that you're able to do a work in them and to make them what I need them to be. And since I know that you're able, I know that you will. Why? Because of the power of God and the word of God. We know that God can do what he can do because he's done it before. You've seen what God can do. But you know what? Sometimes that's just not enough. We've seen God heal people of different things, but yet we'll say, Lord, can you heal me? I know you're able. What has to change is our stinking thinking. Our mind has to be transformed and renewed so that instead of just saying, I know you're able, I know you're able and I know you will. What Abel does, Abel brings him down. When you say, I know he will, it brings him forth. And when he comes forth, you can have what you say. Then you have the ability to call those things that are not, to call them the way you want them to be. Then you have the ability to believe that these things shall change too. Then you understand that you cannot please God without faith. Well, I'm sure that while they were sitting in the middle, you notice it says they were tossed in the middle of the furnace. That was the hottest part of the furnace. In the center of the furnace. Why? Because God sometimes wants you to sit in the hottest part. Think what you've asked God for. We've asked God for some things. I'm going to leave that alone. Hallelujah. Come on and give God some praise. Glory to God. He says, so he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. We know he will. He will deliver us. But if he doesn't, we still ain't going to serve your gods. You have to make up in your mind that if you know, well, God, I know you're able and I know you will. But my mind is so made up. And I'm so caught up in the word of God, and I'm so convinced about who you are. If you don't, you're still God. If you don't deliver me, I'm still going to praise you. How many hear me? You have to make up in your mind. If you don't bless me, I'm still going to praise you. Why? Because I'm already blessed. I've already been delivered. I'm already healed. If you don't do what I want you to do, I'm going to still praise you, because I understand you're more than able and I know you will. But if you don't, it ain't gonna stop me from doing what I got to do. Folks have let circumstance and situation and trial and hardships stop them from doing the work of God and from allowing the praise, the very glory of God to manifest in their lives. You cannot do it. Don't you know that you are the one that has the power to create your own miracle? God occupies miracles. God occupies healing. God occupies finances. God occupies a whole lot of stuff. Well, if God occupies it, if God is the creator of all these things, well, the only way that you can get what he's got is to bring him into your experience. How do you bring him into your experience? Through your praise and through your worship. could sit here and complain. Well, Lord, you know, I've been waiting a few years for you to do this. And I done got a little tired. I'm still, my knee still giving out on me, Lord. I'm tired. What you gonna do? Trouble is still everywhere, but what you gonna do? Well, I'm sick of my husband and he's still here. What you gonna do? I'm tired of my wife because she's driving me crazy. What you gonna do? Some of y'all laughing. What you gonna do? It's not what God's gonna do, it's what you're going to do. You're going to keep standing for God. You're going to keep believing God. You're going to keep trusting God. You're going to know that the fire that you're in will not destroy you. And if you do what you're supposed to do, which is worship and glorify God, you will come out of the circumstance not even smelling like smoke. Some firemen that I know, they say smoke will do you more harm than the fire will a lot of times. So as they tossed him in, and they said, Father, nevertheless, be it known unto thee, King, we still ain't going to serve your gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up, because we know that regardless of what you do, God is still going to do. Well, what happens when you make up your mind to serve God despite your circumstance, or despite your problem, or despite your heartache, or despite your hurt, your troubles that you're going through, or despite your financial difficulty, or despite affliction or persecution, when you decide that you're going to serve God, nevertheless, I'm going to praise you. You've got to be like Job. I don't care what's going on, lady. I will not deny my God. You have to make up in your mind. But when you make up in your mind, you have to understand that the battle that's waging against you will intensify. But as long as you don't take it personal, the victory is already yours. It's when you take it personal that the victory is no longer, you can't win the battle. When you take it personal, you take it out of the hands of God. I'm trying to teach myself that when circumstances arise, when financial problems arise, when sicknesses arise, that I don't take it personal that it's going against God. Hey, you're messing with God. And if you're going to mess with my Lord, you got to deal with what he dish out. So when you make up in your mind not to take it personal, you put yourself in a position where you move out of the way. Well, what they did, they put themselves in a position where they could move out of the way. Now, they really got hot because now they want to heat the furnace seven times more than it was already heated. Well, the fire around your life, the trouble around your life is going to intensify seven times. But that don't mean that you can't continue to stand. That don't mean that you can't make it. That don't mean that you can't keep running this race with patience. That don't mean that you can't keep fighting a good fight of faith. Because greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. We're in a wilderness experience. When you're in the wilderness, you don't know what to expect. Depending on where you are, there might be alligators, there might be scorpions, there might be rattlesnakes, there might be boa constrictors, there might be all kind of rats and roaches. You don't know what to expect. But one thing you can expect, that your God is more than able to deliver you. But you got to remember and you got to ask yourself, how big, how great, and how powerful is my God? And when you make up in your mind that regardless of what happens, I'm still going to praise him, I'm still going to glorify him, I'm still going to lift him up, I'm still going to magnify him. If he leaves me in this furnace, he's still worthy to be praised. If he lets me get burnt, he's still worthy to be praised. If I come out with smoke, he's still worthy to be praised. Because I understand, if I get caught in the fire and I get burned, he can heal me. If they give me smoke on me, he can deliver me. I understand that in the midst of my praise is the power and the very presence of God. They came to this conclusion. So throw us in the fire. Turn up the fire seven times hotter. We don't care. If our God deliver us, he deliver us. If he don't, he don't. But nevertheless, we're not going to bow down because we understand that we've been saved already. We've been delivered already. We've been blessed already. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So they said they heated up some more. And he commanded the most mighty men that went in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the fiery furnace. It ain't just enough that you in trouble. But now it wants you to be bound up. What is he saying? It's just not enough that you got a light affliction. Now you got financial difficulty. It ain't enough that you have financial difficulty and a light affliction. Now you got persecution. And you got all these three. Plus, you got other things that are going on in your life. So what do? Do you sit down and complain and murmur? Or do you thank God? And don't take it personal and remember that, hey, this ain't against me. It's against my God. And if it's against your God, God said, I'll fight the battle for you. But you got to get out of the way. You can't stand in the way and expect me to fight it. You got to move. And the way you move, see, what I found out about praise, Brother Rick, is praise moves you out of the center of the attention. Praise moves you out of the circumstance. Even though it's still surrounding you, praise puts you in a position where you're blocked. It puts you in a position where you're protected. It puts you in a position where you're kept by God. Praise has a way of doing something in your life. We have forgotten that we need to give God praise in all things. Give God praise in all we do. Give all God praise in everything that comes our way, because if you give him the praise, God will do some spectacular things for you. God will create a miracle for you. He'll create a healing for you, and he'll bring forth deliverance in your life. Hallelujah. I was talking to a minister. He says, you know what, Rev? This is the year of Jubilee. I said, brother, I've been in Jubilee since I've been saved. He said, how is that possible? He said, because I've been jubal. I've been jubal because I'm not smoking crack or snorting coke or doing all those kind of things no more. I'm in jubal because when I get in trouble, I know that I have an advocate that's going to go to the Father for me. And the Father's going to hear his son. And when the Father hears his son, he's going to move for him. And you know what's so good about that? The Father, when he can hear you too, when he looks down at you, he said, my son is crying out. But he ain't crying out in anguish. He ain't crying out through stress. He ain't crying out through pain. But he's crying out in praise. Close it. Hallelujah. And you better believe the very people that bind you up are going to be the very people that God get. These men were bound in their coats, verse 21, their holes in their hats, their garments, talking about it bound every part of their being. It took care of their thinking. It took care of their hands for their praise. It took care of see, they put them in a position where they couldn't lift their hands. They bound their heads and their eyes so that they couldn't see. They tried to steal or block their perception of what they had believed God was going to do. Then they tied their feet so that it would destroy their walk and their ability to do what they had to do for God. So then they bind them up and they throw them in there. But what they didn't realize, God searches the intents of a man's heart. God's not looking at you with your hands raised. God's not looking at you dancing and shouting, but God's looking at your heart. He searches your heart, and when you give him praise with your hands, it just makes it even that much better. But God searches our hearts, and he knows what's in our heart, and he can sense that we have praise. I praise God in my heart all the time. Sometimes I don't feel like lifting my hand. Sometimes I don't feel like dancing in the feet, but I can give God the praise. So even though their hands were bound, their feet were bound, their hands were bound, they were shackled, they were tied up, they couldn't see, they couldn't move, they could still praise God. They praise God on the inside, and they gave God the praise, and they gave him the glory. Our God is able, and I know that he will deliver us, so it don't matter. But if he don't, I'm giving him the praise anyway. I've got news for you. You better learn to give God some praise anyway, despite your circumstance, despite your trouble, despite your problem. You better give God some praise, because God will get in your praise, and he'll bring forth joy in your life, and joy will bring forth strength, and strength will give you the ability to run this race with patience. Then you won't have to worry about what you're going through, because you'll realize, hey, but God done went before me. The word done went before me, and he'll make every crooked place straight. Hallelujah. Hey, hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Then the brothers, they got burnt up. The men that threw them in, the fire was so hot that the fire came up out of the fiery furnace and took their lives. God's got a way of dealing with your problem. God was showing them that he didn't need their help. See, remember, they were bound. They couldn't see. Their hands were bound. Their feet were bound. So they didn't know that God was fighting for them. God burned up the guys that threw them in there. They didn't have to go in until he sent the fire on the outside of the furnace to get them. Why? Because God will fight your battle whether you can see it being fought or not. Sometimes you're blinded or hindsighted by what you're going through. Your circumstance will try to steal your peace and your joy. But I got news for you. God is fighting for you. God is doing a work for you. God, because he done searched your heart. You know, everybody ain't always happy and everybody ain't always joyous. Everybody ain't always going to give you a smile. But that don't mean they don't love God. Hallelujah. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego fell down bound in the midst of the fiery furnace, in the middle of the furnace. And he answered in the 25, and he answered and said, "Lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Ah. See, there's a little confusion here because earlier it says a Son of God, but here it says the Son of God, because angels will come to your rescue, but Jesus is the one that delivers you. Hallelujah. And he saw the four men, one looking like the Son of God. And the king came near to the mouth of the fiery furnace and said, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth, come hither." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire, and the princes, everybody was looking. What I'm saying is, what God is trying to say, that even though you're in the fire, God is still with you, and he will deliver you. He will set you free. And see, when they were talking to the king, they were still in the furnace. They just came out of the center of the furnace to the edge of the furnace to talk to the king. I'm letting you know that God will deliver you, and God will work for you regardless of what kind of trial you're going through. But you got to remember who he is and what he is, and you got to remember who you are and what God has called you to. You can't let nothing steal your focus. You can't let nothing separate you from what God has already purposed in your life. If you hold on and hold fast to your profession of faith, you can do all things through Christ Jesus that strengthens you, and you can run this race, and you don't have to look to the left or the right, because you know that you got God on your left side and he's on your right side and he's behind you. So what you have to do is stay focused so you can run this race unwinkingly, knowing that God is moving it for you and moving for you. Everybody stand. Hallelujah. Glory to God.